The story of Mount Nittany's conservation is the story of a people's extraordinary response to an ordinary Pennsylvania mountain. It is the basis for this extraordinary response with which this book of conversation and record is concerned. In explaining a dynamic environmentalism, we will explore the means by which the people of central Pennsylvania's Nittany Valley have shaped and conserved their environment. The myths of the mountain, propagated by Henry W. Shoemaker, and echoing through time in one form or another from our American Indian ancestors, achieve something that can be considered a genuine miracle, creation, or at least conservation, ex nihilo. From the myths of Mount Nittany sprung the cultural basis for the reality of Mount Nittany as a sacred and exceptional site. In Popularizing Pennsylvania, Henry W. Shoemaker and the Progressive Uses of Folklore and History, Dr. Simon J. Bronner explains Shoemaker's conservationist aim to, quote, inspirit the land, unquote, not only as, quote, a hedge against rapid industrialization, unquote, but also as a long-term means to cultivate, quote, civic values and regional pride, unquote. Understanding dynamic environmentalism requires internalizing the vision of the early American conservationists. Personalities as varied as President Theodore Roosevelt, Pennsylvania Governor Gifford Pinchot, Henry W. Shoemaker, and others like New York's William Canfield and Catherine Berry Judson of the Pacific Northwest. The critical insight of these early environmentalists was the observation that the physical landscape is inextricably linked to the cultural landscape. Conservation of a physical thing was rarely achievable without a conservation of the feelings people had attached to it over time. A physical landscape might be beautiful, but only once it becomes inspirited within the cultural landscape can it become sacred and inviolable. The process by which conservationists like Henry W. Shoemaker successfully inspirited the land of sites like Mount Nittany is worth exploring. In a 1916 address to the National Institute of Arts and Letters, former President Theodore Roosevelt might as well have been outlining the vision of the American conservationists of his era. Quote, "The greatest work must bear the stamp of originality. American work must smack of our own soil, mental and moral, no less than physical, or it will have little of permanent value," unquote. The American Indians were, really, the first naturalists in North America, not out of a mad affection for nature's sake, but because they saw the spark of divinity animating their world. Our Indian ancestors had internalized, albeit naturally rather than intellectually, the same insights the early American conservationists sought to cultivate among the peoples of their own rapidly industrializing era. Quote, "All art is mortal," writes Oswald Spengler, "not merely the individual artifacts, but the arts themselves. One day, the last portrait of Rembrandt and the last bar of Mozart will have ceased to be, though possibly a colored canvas and a sheet of notes may remain, because the last eye and the last ear accessible to their message will have gone," unquote. The philosophy of Spengler can be seen in the contrasting civilizations of the American Indian peoples and the Anglo-American pioneers. The former civilization, having seen the spark of the divine at work in the natural world, did not observe a landscape as simply so much air and soil and water. Rather, they had eyes and ears accessible to the message their divine landscapes communicated throughout the vast beauty of the continent. Their culture attuned them to see more than the equivalent of colored canvas or a sheet of notes. Art was alive in the hills, streams, and valleys. The story of our own civilization we know all too well. We still struggle to see the natural world as more than a canvas upon which to write the stories of economic gain and loss. We measure so much of the natural world in terms of its present utility. Seeing nature as a work of art to an American is a continual act of humility, of trying, of forgetting, and of occasional moments of awe and reverence. It was, then, the great gift of the early conservationists to infuse our physical landscapes with a cultural depth sufficient to ensure the survival of both. This is what Henry W. Shoemaker achieved in the Nittany Valley, perhaps more than any other place in Pennsylvania through his folklore. Nittany, a tradition of a Juniata maiden, appeared in his 1916 Juniata Memories, Legends Collected in Central Pennsylvania, and was likely the inspiration for an alternate student-crafted legend of Princess Nittany that appeared later that year in Penn State student yearbook, LaVie. Shoemaker collected, and students shared, the cultural lore of the landscape, and it quickly came to shape the physical landscape. The intangibles of myth, lore, and tradition gave rise to a physical landscape tangibly molded by the ideas of the time. A spirit came to be seen as a part of the natural landscape.